2 Chronicles 7:14. That is the only answer that's going to save our skin. You know, I believe with all my heart Jesus is going to return in the very near future. I don't believe he's very far away. I mean, he's given us so many signs to show us that the end is near. I mean, I believe with all my heart, of course, there's several other people who believe the same thing now, but you know, I believe that the Antichrist is on the scene, the Antichrist, and I believe it's Prince Charles of Wales. I believe he is the Antichrist. I believe he's going to come on the scene. He's the only one that's ever already had a big bronze statue made of himself with big angel's wings, and him standing on top of the world with skull and bones on it saying, I am the Savior of the world. He's already had that thing made. And I've seen the pictures of it. Isn't that something? Prince Charles of Wales. So I believe that the end is just, I mean, I believe the tribulation period, the beginning of the tribulation period, may very well start this year or no later than next year. You know, the last 7 years before Jesus returns. So should we be in fear as Christians? No, absolutely not. We ought to be jumping up and down and praising God. You know, he's given us great and awesome power, and we can do great and awesome things. You know, I think about the things that God has given us the power to do and to ask for. And when people talk about living in fear, I can tell you, just like the angels that he sends to give us, that gives them charge over us to protect us. I love to tell this story about when my son, he had a problem when he was a teenager, believing that dad really walked in the power with God that I walked in. I mean, I could tell him about the things, the miracles I'd see, and he'd just kind of walk off thinking, oh, dad, he's just got a wild imagination. You know, he had no idea that I was really telling him the truth. But one day we were down here trying to get a bull out of our pasture. Just right down here on this 50 acres on this side, there was a great big 1,400, 1,500-pound bull got in with my cows, and I didn't want him in there. I had about a dozen cows, females in there, and that bull broke the fence down and got in there. Well, I went and fixed the fence, and I opened the gate way over yonder in the far corner, and I tried to drive him out. Couldn't get him out, so come got Tim. Tim, you got to come help me. So we went down there, and we took the pickup and everything, and we tried to drive that bull out of that herd of cows. There was no getting him out of there. I mean, no getting him out. Tim finally said, Dad, we're going to have a couple more guys and a couple of horses if they ever get that beast separated from all these cows. I said, no, son, we got help that you don't know about. He said, what do you mean? I said, watch this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel. I said, thank you, Dad. I said, Angel, I want you to go over there and get that bull. I want you to pick his head up, take him out of that herd of cows, lead him straight to that fence, lead him down that fence row right yonder, down to where I got that gate, way down in the corner, and then Tim and I will go down and I'll close the gate. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Angel. I said, come on, son, let's get him. What are you talking about, Dad? I said, come on. And so I started walking over there to the herd of cows, and just as I got close to the edge of the herd of cows, the bull was just standing right in the middle. His head just come up just like that, just like somebody reached down under him and picked his chin up. He walked right out of that herd of cows, walked just straight to that fence where I pointed my finger. He got to that fence, Tim and I walked right through the herd of cows. He turns right and starts right down that fence down there. We're about 30, 40 yards behind him. And Tim, we're watching that bull just walk. He ain't even looking back. He's just walking right down that fence line, going straight to that gate. Tim says, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories. If I hadn't have been there to see this, I'd never believe this. How would you like to have a few wild stories like that to tell, huh? When you get into faith and obey God, he's there to back you up. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God like that? No fear whatsoever. I mean, God can take care and do anything. All you got to do is be obedient and love him and serve him, put him first. He's always there. I mean, if you were a good boy at home and every time Dad asked you to do something, mow the grass or anything else, you come in from school, say, hi, Dad, run in, give him a hug, say, I love you, Dad. What do you think that makes your dad feel like? Huh? Makes him feel good, you know? And then every once in a while, you know, it wouldn't hurt anything, you know, if a boy would go up to his daddy and he'd do something like this, he'd say, Dad, I love you. I'm so glad you're my daddy. You know, you're such a great guy. I'm glad that you're my dad. You know what that makes daddy feel like? Makes him feel good. Makes him feel real good, doesn't it? If once in a while, if you would tell your son, "Son, I'm glad you're my son. I'm so proud of you. I love you. I'm so grateful." It makes him feel good. You know, that's why God told us to love each other. Isn't that what he said? Love. It makes everybody feel good when you tell them you love them. Just like the girls. Always makes the girls feel good when you look at your wife and say, "Honey, I love you. You look so beautiful today." Oh, she loves that. She don't ever get tired of that. Do any of you girls get tired of having your husband tell you that? No, they love it. All of you love it, see? And so that God loves it. And so if you abide in him like that, constantly telling him how much you love him and how wonderful he is and how glad you're his son or his daughter. If you're abiding in him, then he says, "Come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you." Isn't that wonderful? And I got news for you, young lady. He's a whole lot bigger than your husband. You might ask your husband for something. He'll give you everything he's capable of. But God is a whole lot bigger than him. He can give you anything, just like he did with me and my granddaughter and little Kelly. You know, isn't that awesome miracles that God did for those little girls? Now, only God, Kelly's doctor. I mean, he clearly said, you know, he said, "I've been a doctor a long time. A long time. And I ain't never seen a child with a crushed pelvis walk less than 2.5 months in a walker. Never. But to see one running and playing in 2.5 weeks like nothing ever happened," he said, "I only have one explanation. God." God. See, only even the world can see that. I mean, when the church starts walking in the power that God gave us, we'll have a whole lot more people say, "I want your God. I want your God. Wow, how do you do these things?" It's simple. You know, when you're at work, whatever you're doing, you're having trouble. I mean, just like around here. It's amazing how many times, even the grandbabies, when I'm doing something and I'm having trouble doing it, you know what they got to where they all ask me for? "Papa T or Granddaddy, have you prayed about it yet?" It is wonderful. When you have 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-old grandbabies, grandsons, and everything, that when you're working on something, doing something, just like the other day, I was sitting right there in my office working, doing something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit told me, just go outside. I thought, okay, Lord, I guess I need a walk. So I just got up, walked down the corridor, and walked out the front door. When I walked out the front door, there's my 5-year-old grandson and my 12-year-old granddaughter. They're walking across out there pushing his bicycle, and he's just screaming, crying. I thought, uh-oh. So I went running out there, and I said, "Preston, are you okay?" "No, Granddaddy, I'm not okay." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "I turned my bicycle over, and the handlebar hit me in the chest, and it hurt so bad. I'm hurting." I said, "Just a minute." I laid my hand on his back, laid my hand on his chest. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, you bore the boy's pain. So thank you, Lord. You said I could ask for anything." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for taking away the pain and making him perfect right now in Jesus' name." I said, "Thank you, Lord. It's done." I said, "Preston, you're fine. No pain." He said, "Granddaddy, you're right. The pain all left." Now, what did God say you could ask for? Hey. So then whenever Grandma buys him some stuff for Christmas and it doesn't come in, and she said, "Well, I didn't get it." He said, "Well, I know I'll get it next week." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Oh, simple, Granddaddy. I prayed." It's simple. I prayed. It's going to come next week. And it did. See, when you teach your children to pray, why do we wait till we're 40 or 50 years old to learn how to pray? Why don't we start out with the little guys that are 3, 4 years old? You know, why don't we start when they're young? Why don't we... mothers and fathers pray over everything over our children so they will see Daddy praying over everything to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Then they won't have any problem praying because they will see your prayers answered for them as they're growing up. They'll have no problem praying as they go through school, as they go through life. They'll be a totally different child. But they need to see Granddaddy and Daddy praying. They need to see answers to prayer. And then you'll raise good kids. So, if one of your children gets sick, let me show you something that God says right here when he said, "It shall come to pass that if you do all these things, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. You see, there's a requirement there on your part, isn't there? And if you obey, what's he going to send upon you? Blessings. Let's see what some of the blessings are. 3 and 4, right quick. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. In other words, the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body. What is the fruit of your body? Your children. Blessed shall be your children. In other words, for your children to be blessed, you ain't going to have any handicapped ones. You ain't going to have one born without legs or arms or none of those kind of things. They're going to be blessed from God. They're going to be normal. In fact, when my daughter got pregnant with Caitlin, she got pregnant within a month after they got married. She wanted a baby. And so she got pregnant, and as soon as she found out she was pregnant, she came and told me, said, Daddy, I'm pregnant, praise God. And I said, well, what have you asked the Lord for? She said, well, I've asked the Lord for a healthy baby. I said, and? Well, and what, Daddy? I said, well, honey, he's a great big God. You don't want just a healthy one. She said, well, what do I want? I said, well, to start off, how about a healthy one, a beautiful one, an intelligent one? That would be a good, don't you think that'd be a good place to start? Do you want just, see, he said, I know what you want even before you ask me, which means if you don't ask, you don't get it. He is a faith God. And so how many people do you know today that when they start having their children, they never even ask God for a healthy, beautiful, intelligent child? They just take whatever they can get. Hey, that shouldn't be. I mean, that should not be. We ought to be standing on his doorstep and say, Lord, you let my wife get pregnant, and you're going to give us a beautiful, healthy, intelligent child. And this child, we're going to dedicate this child to you and for your service, and you're going to use this baby to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Is that the way you should be? That would be diligently serving the Lord, right? Then he says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your goats and the flock of your sheep. In other words, everything's going to be blessed.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Have You Prayed Yet? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.